Okay. Welcome to another great episode of In Defense of Humanity. Today is March 14th, and I wanted to just go over real quickly what our show is about. My name is Ingrid Castle, and my co-host is Al Whitney, and the title of the show, In Defense of Humanity, was chosen because we are about helping people wake up and understand that the current commercial legal structure that both government and business is built upon is actively working to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. And we are all about the importance of restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet. But this will require that we understand what has happened and empowering ourselves as living men and women and making a difference. So that's really what our show is about. But this particular show, we've had a lot of requests to talk about contract law. What is a contract? You know, because that is what corporations operate on. That's the basis of how they operate, is through the law of contracts. So we have a government that's, you know, the mother corporation with the federal government and all of these sub-corporations, the various agencies that are incorporated under the big mother government. And then we have other sub-corporations called states and counties. And there's so many different corporations that's part of this big beast we call government. And they all operate by the law of contracts. And so that's what gives them their authority, is by you and I contracting with them in various ways. And many of us don't even realize that we're contracting with them. And many of these contracts are actually not really enforceable agreements. And we're going to be talking about that. This is, by the way, something that we should have learned in high school. And people that work in real estate and various businesses end up learning about it later in life. But this should be stuff that we learn early on in life, to me, you know, since this is such a basic concept of, you know, how we operate in the world today. But anyway, without further ado, Al has actually did a lot of great little research and summarized a lot of the key points, the elements that comprise an enforceable agreement, which we call a contract. And so, Al, you might want to go through some of these points, point by point, and why don't I just go ahead and turn it over to you, and you can share with everyone what you've been researching.
Oh, thanks, Ingrid. Let me start with a couple quotes from Attorney Melvin Stamper in his book, Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, which we strongly recommend everyone get. Here's a quote from page 58. The scheme also provided for the control of the courts via the 1913 creation of the American Bar Association, whose parent organization was the European International Bar Association, which was the creation of Rothschild. This allowed the international bankers to control the practice of law, in that the only ones permitted to practice before the courts were those who were educated under their brand of law, which was only admiralty and contract law. Contract law is above the Constitution and under the jurisdiction of equity admiralty courts. So the government began to contract with everyone. Now, this is from Judge Dale. Quote, everything in America is about contracts, and it is our burden as Americans to make government perform honorably. So people really need to recognize that you cannot depend upon the courts to protect what you think are your rights, as long as you've signed contracts that supersede those rights. So unless you understand the basics of contracts, you won't have any idea even how to protect your rights. And that's why we added an addendum to Lawfully Yours, which we're going to talk about tonight. It's uploaded on the Anti-Corruption Society webpage on the tab Lawfully Yours, and it is Addendum D, and we're going to talk about it tonight, and that is defining what a contract is. So the basics of contract, which everyone should be taught by the time they're 18. If you can enter into a contract, you should know what a contract is and what that commitment means. And it's just plain tragic that is not taught in high school. That by the time the children are 18, if they're able to enter into a contract, they're kept intentionally ignorant of contracts so that they just sign contracts without any idea what they mean. And the repercussions come down upon them later. And I believe the system was designed by the attorneys like that, Ingrid. This is not an accident that we aren't taught about the basics of contracts. They want us to be signing these government contracts and not have any idea what we're doing. So, okay, let's go over what are the basics of contracts. There are six really to have a enforceable agreement. It depends for its validity on six conditions. One, mutual assent. Two, legal consideration. Three, legal capacity for contracting. Four, absence of fraud or duress. Five, not in violation of law. In theory, we cannot lawfully contract to murder, steal, damage property, trespass, or sell someone into slavery. And number six, it must be realistic and attainable. Now, with that in mind and knowing that we contract with this corporate government all the time, the closer we look at it and the more you read Judge Dale's The Great American Adventure, you realize why he said the government is not behaving honorably, and it is our job to see that they do so. And that's part of the reasons we put together Lawfully Yours, is to help people understand how these contracts are being violated and how we're not even told that their authority over us comes through our contractual agreements. Because as living flesh and blood men and women, the Dead Legal Fiction Corporation has no authority over living men and women unless we consent. And that's how they get us to contract. They get us to consent and sign the document. So let's talk about the first item, which is mutual assent. That means the consent, the offer, and the acceptance. Now, in a contract, there are several items that are requirements to meet mutual assent. One, it requires a meeting of the mind. Two, it requires an obligation of good faith, and that is in the Uniform Commercial Code 1-203. Every contract or duty within this act imposes an obligation of good faith in its performance or enforcement. The third item is requires full disclosure, and we're going to talk about that later. There can be no meeting of the minds unless the matter has been discussed. Therefore, full disclosure of all terms and conditions is an absolute requirement for this condition. This is why contracts are called agreements. Parties cannot agree on terms that are not disclosed nor discussed. This would be a form of collusion and would violate the obligation of good faith. And tragically, this happens every day. The fourth item requires a voluntary signature. Your signature on a contract signifies your agreement to the terms and conditions. Courts have maintained that any sane person understands and concurs with the content of any instrument bearing his voluntary signature. And Ingrid, that's why we talk all the time about be careful what you sign, right?
Right.
If you sign it, then it is presumed that you are sane, that you understand it, and then you concur with it. One, two, three, four, five. You cannot bind non-signatories on a contract. Signatories on a contract can't bind other people to the terms and conditions of their contract unless they hold a signed agreement to do so, often referred to as the power of attorney. And the last item, they cannot be unilaterally altered. So if you sign an agreement and one party changes that agreement and alters it in an adverse way, particularly, the contract can be voided. It would no longer exist because the mutual agreement would no longer exist. Okay.
Right.
Number two, legal consideration. Lawful contracts need to contain some form of monetary exchange or assurance. An agreement is legally enforceable only when each of the parties gives something and gets something. That something given or obtained is the price for the promise. It should be noted, however, that consideration may be an act doing something or forbearance not doing something, or a promise to do or not to do something. It could be past, present, or future, which leaves that pretty wide open. Okay, number three, legal capacity. Signatories on a contract must meet legal qualifications and be at least 18 years of age, considered sane, and not under the undue influence of drugs or alcohol. Number four, and this is the one that we're going to be able to get into quite a bit because this is going on all over our country every day on a daily basis. Absence of fraud or duress. Contracts are not enforceable if they were signed using coercion, misrepresentation, or fraud, as any of these would negate the mutual assent required to create an enforceable agreement in the first place. Amy, that goes right back to that birth certificate, doesn't it? That mother was asked to sign that birth certificate. And from that, they created the legal straw man, and then they assumed or presumed the authority over that child from then on. That is the biggest fraud that is ongoing every day in our country.
Right.
And the parents are never told, and yet the government chooses to exercise parents' patriae based on the fact that the government is the parent of those children, when the parent never, ever gave consent to pledge or donate their child to the state. And that has huge implications. That has implications with the mandatory vaccines, with the CPS, with the compulsory education, with truancy actions against the parents if the child doesn't go to school. This one fact that they got our children as wards of the state based on that birth certificate without our knowledge or consent, I think that's the whole basis of the fraud throughout the country.
Well, it is, but I would add that, you know, every time you sign a traffic citation or you, put your children in school or a daycare, all of those things, they make you sign an admittance form, and right, those are contracts too that have implications that aren't, totally revealed, in my opinion.
Right.
We find that, you know, the truancy, you know, there's these truancy laws in different states, actually all 50 states, I believe, that once you register the child for school, you become subject to them. So even if you're, and then homeschool too, the homeschool family is told that they have to register their homeschool family with the school. And that subjects them to Common Core, to having the state come and investigate the home. Because the home becomes a part of the school once you register with the school. And so it's another police power of the state coming in that you've invited through the contract with the school. I mean, there's all kinds of things like that. You don't really understand the whole ramifications, and it's not totally disclosed. And that's what I believe why, number one, mutual assent is so important, because there's an offer and acceptance, but these terms and conditions aren't totally disclosed.
No, they are not totally disclosed. And even the issue of compulsory education, even that very issue is all encompassed in this. in my state particularly, and we have it on our website, in my state in 1953, the corporation, that's the year the Uniform Commercial Code bomb was dropped on the state of Ohio, and they added a compulsory education statute for the corporation. And when you read it, you will see they admit that the school board is a body politic and a corporate. And they give the school their corporate authority. So we know that what Melvin Stamper is saying is absolutely true. They did bring in the Uniform Commercial Code in the 50s, and by the 60s, they were pretty much across the board. Both Melvin Stamper and Judge Dale, and who's running America, validates that that's what our courts are. They're corporate, commercial, administrative courts. So even the fact that they did that in 1953 without any awareness of the population, and they bring in this corporate rule regarding compulsory education, is a fraud on the parent in its face. So here the parents are trying to get permission to homeschool, when the challenge that they should be putting in is challenging the state, saying, when did I agree to compulsory education? And the fact is, they didn't. This was done via the UCC, statutory rule. In my state, we know exactly when they did it, and there was no election that year for the people to just make that decision. That was all done by the lawyers, the bar, and those in the legislators that year. So right there, the whole parents patriae doctrine has never been challenged, and it's time for it to be challenged based on the fact it's just a corporate rule. I hope that makes sense to people, because that really is going to help us figure out how to respond to a lot of these demands that the schools are making, and Common Core wants to make even more demands and more unreasonable, horrific programs that they're putting in place right now. So people really are going to have to start to face the facts about what is this compulsory education and what obligates me to it. It represents yet one more term and condition that you were not, did not consent or agree to, that was not revealed, that was misrepresented. Contracts are not enforceable if they were signed using coercion, misrepresentation, or fraud, as any of these would negate the mutual assent required to create an enforceable agreement in the first place. I think that makes it pretty clear that we have a problem with all of the demands the schools are making in the first place. We're going to take
a break. Well, we are coming.
Yep. Take a break and we'll come back.
We're saying it at the same time. That's the funny thing about co-hosts, huh?
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder, available only at hempusa.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD. Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only
HealthGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. Tonight we're talking about what is a contract, since we have been talking relentlessly, Ingrid and I, gosh, for almost a year, about the fact that it's a corporation, folks. And the listeners to RBM, if they've listened to any of Clint Richardson's show, The Corporation Nation, they should be familiar with this concept. And in the second hour, we will take calls because we'd like to hear comments. A lot of us have learned about contracts. Some of us have learned more. And as I already said, they become very convoluted. The tragedy is that the bar created all of these crazy contracts. However, when you register your child for school, there's no bar attorney there telling you what you're agreeing to. He's nowhere around. When you register your car, you buy a car, they ask you to register it. There's no bar attorney telling you that you just gave it back to the state by doing so. So they want to control the legal profession. Right. They want to keep a monopoly on the legal profession. And yet they're not around when all of these people get into all of these difficulties because the people are not educated about the basics of contracts, and it is kept from the population. The reality is the United States government and all its little arms are a corporate network. And Ingrid, I think I put it on my website. Good old Idaho Observer exposed that way back in 2007. Because I found it. That wonderful man.
Yeah, actually.
Augustus Blackstone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. And yeah, there's other stuff.
Yeah, there is other stuff. But I can put a link up. I thought that was a pretty nice article. And I will put a link to tonight's show for new listeners. We like to take the links that we discuss and post them on In Defense of Humanity program link page. I have a little tab on Anti-Corruption Society, and I try to get to that before I go to bed if I can, so that what we talk about, you can click on the links, and we'll put this information up there after the show too. But anyway, so we're down to the absence of fraud or duress. Well, geez, we've got misrepresentation and implied consent. Any claim of implied consent to terms that were not disclosed can be viewed as misrepresentation. How can you consent to something that you don't even know is there? That whole idea of implied consent. You know, the last time I heard that mentioned on a YouTube was this horrific, horrific YouTube exposing that if a driver did not agree to a breathalyzer test, then the police, the corporate police, were claiming the authority to take the individual into the police station, strap them down, and draw blood to get a blood alcohol level. the news commentators remark was. Someone said, well, how can they do that? And the commentator said, it's done by implied consent by the nature of the driver's license. Now, that's outrageous, people. That nobody, when they applied for a driver's license, agreed that if some cop decides he doesn't like you and maybe he thinks you're drunk and you don't trust his breathalyzer, that you are agreeing to be kidnapped and have your blood extracted. I mean, that's complete misrepresentation of the driver's license. So beware whenever any attorney go ahead.
Right.
I was just going to say, you know, when anyone gets a driver's license, you're basically asking permission from the state. You're asking the state under parens patriae, basically, to say, I need your supervision to tell me that my driving will be okay. I will take your test. I will do all this stuff. And if your police detect that I'm not driving according to those rules, then, you know, they have permission from me to go ahead and pull me over and make sure that I'm, you know, following statutes, or, you know, if I'm drinking and driving, or you need to prove that I'm doing something unlawful, then that's fine. You're giving your permission that way. That's basically what you're saying, even though you didn't know you were saying that. Of course, that's the whole thing. It was a contract that did not have totally disclosed terms. And this is like when you're registering your car, the state actually has the title. When you buy a car, you get a certificate of title. You don't have the original title of that car. People that manufacture cars know this, that the state, in terms of them doing business in the state, the title to that car goes to the state, and they have a certificate that goes with that car to the owner. So the state really owns it all in many respects, in the way it operates today. I'm just, you know, there's so many of these little contracts, but, just property taxes, it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it goes on and on, but we do have a pocket card in Lawfully Yours should a corporate police officer pull you over, because we have to remember these police officers work for the corporation. They are bound by the laws of contract. You do not have to consent to their demands. They need to get you to say you understand. They actually need to get you to hand them your driver's license, that which grants them jurisdiction. There is a whole game they play to get your consent. And Ingrid and I have seen this, and you can see YouTubes of this all over the place, where people have denied to give them their name and demanded that they tell them if they have caused harm, and the police finally give up and let the guy off, you know, drives away. We'll be back.
Okay.
Did I say that?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling, and you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com, or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Whew. Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. This is Al Whitney. I'm here with Ingrid Castle. And tonight we're talking about contracts. The section on, we have this, as I said earlier, if you just tuned in, we just added a section on contracts in the Lawfully Yours Guide, which you can get online at anticorruptionsociety.com on the tab at the top that says Lawfully Yours. Gosh, yesterday we added this section, Appendix D, on contracts to help people understand better how it is that we're getting entrapped and how we can come up with more ways to not consent and to extract ourselves from these traps. Another unfortunate contract style that's going on across the country today is called adhesion contracts. Okay, there are a lot of them. The lawyers just conjured up just truckloads of them. An adhesion contract is a standardized contract / form offered in exchange for goods and or services on essentially a take it or leave it basis. A distinctive feature of adhesion contract is that the weaker party has no realistic choice as to its terms and conditions. And you see that everywhere. I know when we took the dog to a major vet clinic, big money maker, we were asked to sign a form agreeing that if we didn't pay the bill, we agreed to pay 28% interest rates. And the form also said we agreed not to challenge any of the charges. And that's what you call an adhesion contract. I fought it and created all kinds of confusion over there that day. But anyway, then there is an unconscionable adhesion contract. That is a contract.
Wait. I want to go back. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just feel like a real typical one, because you mentioned the veterinarian. They get you in any kind of emergency situation, you know.
Yes.
You always are given a form that's at hospitals too, and so you're in an emergency situation, and you feel like, oh my gosh, I have to sign up, or they're not going to treat me, and those are the kind of things. I mean, it's very, very typical, and that's why I always tell people it's a really good idea. If you ever think that you will go to a clinic or a hospital in your area for any reason, I mean, you know, it could happen. Anything could happen. You could have a car accident or something. It's a good idea to grab those forms ahead of time. And you know, even like keep it in your car. Seriously, I mean, I always say people should be prepared and put it in your glove box or just have that form and make all the adjustments to it ahead of time so that that form is ready. And, you know, because you don't want to just sign anything. A lot of these forms are really long, and they need to be adjusted. But when you're in a stressful situation and you're in an emergency, you often sign something and regret it later. So, and believe me, I have a lot of stories of this kind of thing happening.
Well, you know, that's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought up the hospital issue, because I would even go a step further, Ingrid, and if you're going to sign any forms when you're in an emergency department, and that in and of itself is stressful. Anything they ask you to sign as a condition of seeing a doctor is coercion. So if people could remember under that circumstance to sign above their name, all rights preserved, and then sign your name, because when you're calmer, you're home, you're feeling much better. If any negative ramifications come to you by signing that, you have now left yourself open to challenge the validity of the papers you signed based on coercion or misrepresentation. And people, if you don't sign it, if you don't write it down, it's very difficult to claim it later. So it never hurts to write in those all rights preserved or under duress. Either one will help leave the way open should there be something in that contract that you cannot live with. And generally there is, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Most of them are really bad.
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up. That is so important for people to understand. And that's a perfect example. Well, then you've got the unconscionable adhesion contract, which is a contract the terms of which are excessively unreasonable, overreaching, and one-sided, one which no sensible man, not under delusion, duress, or distress, would make, and such as no honest or fair man would accept. Unconscionable adhesion contracts are not enforceable, as most represent coercion or undue influence. If being coerced into signing an adhesion contract, it is wise to write under duress or all rights reserved above your name. That emergency situation is absolutely a perfect example of an unconscionable adhesion contract. And I'm afraid it's not the only one. If you want to, oh my gosh, your mortgage is an unconscionable adhesion contract if you look at it.
Never heard of this one. You know, you mentioned that there's another strategy to preface your signature with an ellipsis or three dots signifying the absence of words or conditions. And I actually haven't seen that done.
Well,
that's an interpretation. I mean, is this well known? Is this well known that that's what it actually means in the legal realm?
Yes, it is known. Most times it's not used because most institutions that present these contracts to you will accept you putting, you know, all rights reserved or preserved or under duress. there have been instances, the reason people created this possibility is that there have been instances where contracts were rejected. They were rejected because you wrote that on there. And therefore, some legal beagles said, well, that may help you if they choose to reject it. You can put dot, dot, dot. And that is that is signifying the absence of words or conditions. Words or conditions. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that is legal. Now, if you don't have to use it, then, you know. But it's just another strategy.
Right.
To help over. Because these are contracts, exactly what you're talking about, like the emergency room. Holy moly, the paperwork they want you to sign is outrageous. Absolutely.
It is.
Yes. Okay, so now we've got unconscionable adhesion contracts. Number five, cannot violate the common law. And again, in theory, and I think there are people who contract to do murders, in my opinion. I don't know how enforceable the contracts are, but in theory, you cannot contract to murder, steal, damage property, trespass, or sell into slavery. Those are not recognized in their administrative courts. Those, they're probably recognized in the back alleys of the mob, though. And I'm thinking that does go on. Okay, number six, they must be realistic or attainable. I cannot contract with somebody to move the pyramids a foot to, in one direction. That would be a contract that cannot be attainable. It's not realistic. So now that we have the basic six items in a contract, we go in to give a little information about vacating the contract. Because if these six conditions are not met, there are essentially legal grounds for vacating or rescinding the contract. And here's where it gets really useful for us, this wonderful information that Judge Dale provided. Here's what he said, quote, the corporation government's subversive tactics perverts mutuality, which is mutual assent, meaning that all registrants must understand the true nature and intent of the contract and subsequently must knowingly accept or consent to the terms and conditions of the contract. The absence of mutuality lawfully eliminates any and all contractual relationships as historically established by the International Law of Contracts, also known as the Uniform Commercial Code. Now that, I think, is super duper important, Ingrid, because we can go right back to those poor people who were being dragged down to the police station to have their blood forcibly extracted from them. Okay?
Right.
There, nowhere did they assent to that. Nowhere are you going to find they can challenge that without any problem because they never signed a document agreeing to that. That's the problem with this corporate construct. Is if you got your first driver's license and you agreed to what was in effect 20 years ago, they can pass new statutes and they do all the time that you have no idea is a new rule regarding the driver's license. And that allows them to continually pick us up and punish us for not following rules we were completely clueless about. There is there's a wonderful, wonderful video, and you and I hadn't had a chance to talk about that, but I want to put a link up on that called Don't Talk to the Police. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put that up tonight. You liked it? Wasn't that great?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it before, and a while ago they had another audio from that someone did about all that too, and it was really, really good, you know, just how to handle a traffic stop in a way that wasn't going to antagonize you and was, you know, all about retaining your rights. But
yeah, and the don't talk to the police. He starts out by saying that there are thousands of statutes out there that you don't even know are there. So you would be foolish to ever talk to the police because you would no idea what you might say that would incriminate you, because, again, you don't even know what the rules are. So I think everyone should see that and understand that's what statutory law is doing to us. They're making rules we don't even know about, and then they try to punish us, arrest us, or fine us because we didn't abide by their rules. It's long overdue that we start challenging this corporate structure, long overdue. And that's why we put together Lawfully Yours, obviously. Okay.
Well, especially even in the face of, I just have to mention this one thing. You know, we have the Federal Register, and many people are worried about the prospect of forced vaccinations, with especially with adults. You know, right now, you know, parents have been able to avoid it for the most part for their children, but not always. But then, you know, we have young adults, you know, middle-aged adults, grandparents, the elderly, and all of these people are going to be faced, you know, not forced necessarily right away, but they're going to compel people in some way to get their 95% of the population totally vaccinated. They want to have it so that only 5% of the people can exempt themselves. And that's part of the Healthy 2020 vision. By 2020, they would have, you know, 95% total compliance. Well, actually 100% compliance, but 5% would have valid reasons. And some of them would be the elite reasons, I'm sure, that they would exempt themselves. But I bring that up because one thing that was discussed is that they will use some of these contracts to compel you to get vaccinated. And some of these are the benefits of, you know, being on disability, Social Security. I mean, can you imagine, you know, what would happen if all of a sudden they decided to withhold people's checks? That would be a little, a little bit dicey for a lot of people. I think they'd be put in a panic, you know, am I going to eat this month or get vaccinated?
Yes. And it, so it, there's a lot of uses for Lawfully Yours. If you read it, download it, read it maybe more than once and underline it. You can get a hard copy. Ingrid sells them in bound copies at Backlib. But getting familiar with this.
$15 plus $5 shipping.
Yes.
Thank you. Now just saying the price is, to have it beautifully bound, it's $15 plus $5 shipping and handling. So yes. A $20 bill will get you one.
Yes. And then you can make notes in it. And even if you don't buy it, I just have to recommend that everybody downloads and at least prints out what is contract. So you start to really understand you're contracting with a corporation and they are bound by the laws of contract. Everything in America, back to Judge Dale, is about contracts, and it is our burden as Americans to make sure government performs honorably. Well, right now we're in this doctrine of consent is assumed unless you actually put in writing that you do not consent. It is presumed. So being quiet does not protect anything. Being quiet is presumed to be consent. And in Lawfully Yours, we do have a section that Franco Collins put together. Ingrid loves it. I love it. On the presumptions, 12 presumptions of the court. So people will start to get an idea. Lawyers are not going to give you this information, folks. They have to keep everybody believing that either the government is not a corporation or it's a quasi-corporation or it doesn't matter that it's a corporation. That's what lawyers are bound to do, to convince you that...
Basically, they tell you the latter, that it doesn't matter because they'll be caught lying when they say it's not a corporation. It's obvious it's a corporation. You go to any city council meeting, they're all incorporated, you know, the county is. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to find out that your city and county and the state is, in fact, a separate corporation.
No. In fact, they don't deny it when you ask them. Well, yeah. But that doesn't matter. Well, it matters very much. And I'm seeing it matter right here in my own town. I mean, The city council decided this one street that these people had to pay to put in sidewalks. They did it unilaterally, and all of a sudden they send everybody a bill for sidewalks. Now, some people couldn't afford to put in some sidewalks. Some people didn't want to put in sidewalks. They'd lived there for 30, 40 years without sidewalks, and all of a sudden they're being forced to put in sidewalks. Now, the lawyers are telling them there's nothing they can do about it. And I am telling them they need to challenge it. Where did I sign an agreement with you giving you permission to force me right. to put a sidewalk? And the truth is, they will not be able to answer that. We're watching I'm working with a couple people right now, and I'm watching the people challenge, and they come back, and they don't have an answer to the challenge. Sorry?
Yeah, we're going to be, I think he's trying to give us signals that we have a break coming up. So
okay. We
should be having a break coming up. So please stay tuned to the end of the show.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I started to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had three bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way he could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back. Before we went on a break, we were talking about vacating the contract. If the conditions are not met, there are legal grounds for vacating or rescinding the contract. Another lawful reason for vacating the contract is if you become aware that you have made a mistake. Generally, the mistake has to have been made as a result of misrepresentation of the facts. Misrepresentation is a false statement about a material fact relied on by a party to the contract. In the case of a misrepresentation, the injured party may rescind the contract. It takes a lot of work to track down some of this stuff, but I tracked down one misrepresentation today from a school board, and I was pretty shocked and surprised. But certainly, that gives the parents plenty of room to challenge what the school is asking of them. So let's just say you want to rescind your contract because of any of the six reasons that are not met. The rescission of a contract must be done in writing and signed via a certified signature, which means notarized or witnessed, and presented by certified mail to the contracting party, noting notice to agent is notice to principal is notice to agent, to ensure the correct people are notified of the rescission. And when we say notarized or witnessed, we're all familiar with the notary, but the people who've been consulting with me on Lawful Years have assured me that you really need, if you're just going to use witnesses, you really need two witnesses to the signature. And and we have that in Lawful Years, that you need two witnesses, and of course, the day when you sign it, you're signing it in their presence, so the date should be identical. If it's not, you should probably do a new one. But that's how you rescind a contract. And
right.
I think people are going to be rescinding and vacating contracts, particularly people as they become aware of Common Core, Ingrid. Their contract
Absolutely.
With that school.
The more they see... Right. When they see Common Core, what the curriculum really is all about and how it's a spy tool to get into your home, so the child becomes a tool for the state in, you know, revealing all kinds of things about, you know, the parents and the brothers and sisters, things that you wouldn't even know the kid knew or thought about or imagined. You know, sometimes children have lively imaginations too. You know, they watch TV and they think their parents are doing the same thing or whatever. But it's amazing. All of this stuff ends up being recorded and put in you know, documents and in records on the child. And so it's unbelievable. I would just want my child out of school as soon as possible, and I certainly wouldn't want a contract with the state to homeschool either. So that's a whole other thing. And I wanted to mention, Al, the reason people don't necessarily want to use a notary is that requires state identification. The notary is contracted with the state. It's another contract. So it's like you're acquiescing to the, you know, use of a notary and the state is to make your document legal when two witnesses are sufficient. So we are hitting the end of the show. We're taking callers the second hour. That's 1-800-313-9443. Again, that's 1-800-313-9443. And I'm not sure if we're hitting the end of the show or not, but I'm not hearing anything.
Well, Ingrid, according to my...
I mean, I'm looking at my computer clock.
I'm looking at my little sheet that says we go on break now. So if we're not going on break, maybe they changed how they're doing the breaks again. And